Who with it now? Welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast, the PODcast. We call it that for a reason. PrideofDetroit.com, the SB Nation blog for all your Detroit Lions needs. Everything else you need to know about the Lions, the NFL, news, analysis, funny things, fantasy football. We bring it all your way. Look for us, Pride of Detroit, on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play Music, I believe. Pride of Detroit on Twitter. Pride of Detroit on Facebook. It's the name of the site. It's Pride of Detroit. If it says Pride of Detroit, you are probably tuned in to us. I am Chris Lemieux, editor at Pride of Detroit. Joining me, as always, Ryan Matthews, cohort, fantasy football writer, who is very happy I remembered his niche on the site.
You know I am. I'm also an editor.
You're also
an editor. And I do a lot of that with Kyle Yost. Shout out Kyle Yost.
Shout out to Kyle. We got to do that. We met him the other week. We didn't really talk about it much, except for that hidden track in last week's podcast where we made fun of Alex Reno for ordering mozzarella sticks instead of Sweetwater wings.
Yeah, that almost destroyed the website.
By the way,
Sleeping Dogs Lie on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. But I bring that up just as a note. Like, we've been adding these hidden tracks to the end of a lot of podcasts. It's your treat if you listen through the podcast the whole way through, or you could just skip ahead, I guess. But that's no fun. If you listen to the podcast the whole way through, you will probably have a wonderful little hidden track of us just insulting one another. Usually, maybe, I don't know. Jeremy Reisman's also here. He is our leader, our managing editor, our man in Southern California, who is ready. Who's always ready to go out with a baseball bat in case a police chase comes by his house.
Yeah, I got my Bob Quinn baseball bat.
Louisville Slugger.
Batman. Na 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 na.
Yeah, I think it was Andrew Cato, also known as Morgadoo, who gave us the idea that we should be calling Bob Quinn Batman because of the bat wielding picture from the draft.
I'm surprised it still hasn't gotten more play, but that's me. What all do we have for Lions news for this week, guys? We were just talking about this and that the Lions have gone very mum about everything out of training today.
Yeah, minicamp, the first day of minicamp was today, and not a lot was reported that we didn't already know. Taylor Decker's still your left tackle. Levy still looks good.
Tulloch wasn't available to speak.
Yeah, Tulloch, they basically excused him from camp, so he wasn't there, and the Lions aren't saying anything about it.
Well, I know a couple beat writers were also mad they apparently couldn't get access to players after after training, too, but,
Yeah, the offensive line specifically.
Offensive line, that was it.
Yes, they have some sort of verbal pact with each other that they're not going to talk to media, and there were certain guys out there that weren't. And I understand it. Like, it's their job to get some quotes, to pull together, get some stories. I was trying to do that myself today, and there wasn't really much to go on. But, it's well within their right to be doing that. So,
I mean, it's nothing new for that offensive line either. Like, this was... Weren't they fining each other last year when one of them spoke to the media?
Yeah, I think there was something like that going on.
It's kind of a thing that they're doing. So
yeah,
so that's fine. I don't know if I can say that, the beat writers are doing a fan service by trying to get quotes from these guys. Like, to be honest, you're not going to get a good quote anyway, but whatever. You do you. It's their job. I understand that. But it's also the job of those guys to do what they want to do, too. So
yeah, and it's kind of their job never to rock the boat at all or say something right. That's going to draw negative attention towards them or anyone else on the team. So easy way to do that is just never talk.
I mean, plus, too, like, if you want to get these guys to talk to you, you got to kind of earn their trust a little bit, too. No one really does that. We're ones to talk. We have, no access at all. We've tried. Good Lord, we've tried, but we don't have access. So we are certainly ones to talk about what access should and should not bring you, but whatever. What else do we have? We have cheerleaders now.
Yep. That's a thing.
That's a thing.
And the crowd goes mild.
Okay, what else? That's all we're going to say about cheerleaders in this podcast.
Oh, that's really all we're going to say?
If you Ryan, throw some fire Ryan, on this, Ryan.
No.
Exactly.
I don't want to say anything. I was just getting ready for this fiery take from Chris. So
no, I've saved my take for what take am I going to bring? Like I have something coming out on Wednesday, hopefully, unless it just gets delayed until Thursday. But either way, I have something coming out this week to that kind of like talks about what I feel like we know and don't know about the cheerleaders. But I mean, otherwise, what am I going to say? Like, they're coming. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. Well, there you go, kids. Your fiery take. You're going to have to read it instead of hear it.
I mean, I'm like, what do you want? What do you want me to do? What am I a monkey? Am I just going to dance for you here? I'm going to dance for you. I'm going to get angry on a whim for you. I laugh. I amuse you.
I'm muting my mic until the next topic.
Here's a question.
Okay.
This is a question that hopefully won't be too fire that will draw some bad emails or whatever, but were you kind of happy that the Lions were one of six or seven teams that didn't have cheerleaders? Did you kind of like that distinguished
honor? No, that wasn't really a distinguishing thing for me. It's just I look at cheerleaders and I think who under the age of 32 is thinking, yeah, we really need cheerleaders to improve game day experience.
Probably everyone from like 13 to 17.
Well, okay, so the 18 to 29 demographic. People who have had like their testosterone like actually get into a proper state of mood and hasn't just, you know, gotten so old and slovenly and just awful. Right?
Yeah, I like to think that everyone between 18 and 29 has leveled out that part of their personality, but the truth is they haven't. I mean, well, we're talking about football fans here.
Right, and at the same time, too, I understand I was actually reading someone who he used to work for the Falcons website, and their Falcons cheerleaders, like, those still drive, like, the most hits. Like, anything cheerleader-related draws the most hits on their websites. Those swimsuit calendars, the other calendars, like all that stuff. Like those drive, like those are like the most viewed articles.
They're probably just into the sport of cheerleading a little more than they are the sport of football.
Sport of cheerleading.
Yet wrestling isn't a sport on this website. I digress.
All right, I think that's...
Oh, got him! Got him!
So the other thing, though, is, like, back to your original question, Jeremy, what, we were one of, like, six or seven teams that didn't have cheerleaders?
Yeah, there's... Some people say there's six now, some people say there was six. It's...
It was like okay. Packers, whatever. Bears,
yeah.
And
yeah. So they're all pretty much like they're all Northeastern teams, right? That play football games outdoors, like right. In the winter,
except for like the Patriots. The Patriots have cheerleaders, and the Jets too, I believe.
I don't know. I don't know if I got any like sense of like pride out of that. Pride of Detroit. But anyways, no, I don't. I don't know. I think it just never really crossed my mind, just because I don't really think of, like, when I think of cheerleaders, I only guess I really kind of drew that connection when I thought of, like, big-time teams that had cheerleaders, like the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders or something. Like,
or the Raiders or whatever.
Yeah, just because they're so, I guess back to, like, Chris's point about, like, how many hits, like, things with the Atlanta Falcons cheerleaders would get, like, those are the cheerleaders that get, like, a lot of press.
Yeah.
Like when you think about like the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, because they're popping up on like other things that aren't just like football related or actual football games.
The Dallas Cowboys cheerleader squad is like world famous, really. Like,
Yeah. So
they have a reputation.
They have a reality show too, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's just a matter of like growing up as a Lions fan, never seeing any cheerleaders at the games. So it didn't really ever, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't like a badge of honor, I guess I wore.
I guess my big point is like, you know, when you're going to a game and there's a break in the action, who out there is like, "Ooh, I'm really hoping the cheerleaders are dancing or something." Like I think most people around our ages are, you know, when there's a break in the action, we're getting up to go to the bathroom or get a drink or look at our phone. Like, yep. No one's really, like, looking for a cheerleader these days. And they're not really, like, and to the point of them leading a cheer, like, what cheers are there anymore for NFL fans other than, like, you know, Seven Nation Army?
Yeah, no.
Like,
I think the
Gridiron Heroes, we already have someone to, you know, lead the people in song.
Right. I think the biggest myth is that cheerleaders drastically improve your game day experience. Like, for big football fans, if the Lions don't win, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah. Yeah.
If the Lions win, you're going to have a good time.
That's pretty much what it is.
That's pretty much the beginning and end of it. And that's not to say the Lions shouldn't try and, you know, make the other parts of the game day experiences better, but
outside of winning, there is one part of the game day experience that they could make better that would make me very happy, but the problem is you really can't do it. And that's a better tailgating experience. And you really can't do that because of where we are, where Ford Field is in downtown Detroit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
How did we spend all this time talking about cheerleaders when we were like done?
We got sucked in. We got sucked in.
This was my fault. I'm so sorry.
There really isn't anything else to talk about the Lions, right? Like, actually, there was one thing. I'm sorry. I say that haphazardly. Darius Slay did break some news. He is going to be out there on Tuesday. The Lions have Beyonce at Ford Field for her. Is the formation tour?
Yeah.
So he's going there, and he's hoping to win Beyonce's hand in marriage, if I remember correctly.
Well, here's the thing. He's actually not going there. He couldn't make it in time. He said he was talking about, you know, if he had time and what he would have done.
Okay.
And I'm not sure. You might have the exact quote pulled up.
Well, I have it here. It's like, quote, I'm going to be a little late, but I can't miss the formation. You know what I'm saying? So it sounds like he is going.
Oh, maybe he is going.
So he is going. So I'm going to catch the formation. I got to catch the formation at the beginning when she come in because I know she's going to spot me. I'm going to be looking sexy for her.
I'm pretty sure Darius Slay has a girlfriend.
He does. And all they do is tweet at each other and then retweet people who say how cute they are on Twitter. That's his entire Twitter account.
Maybe it's going to be an open relationship. Maybe it's going to be polyamorous. I don't know.
It's going to be one of those Lou Williams relationships where he's got two girlfriends.
A girlfriend who's got a girlfriend? Maybe.
I don't know. Whatever, Darius Slay. As long as it keeps you in Detroit longer, I don't care what you do as long as it gets you a contract extension here.
Can I just read the other part of this quote? I'm just waiting for her to get on her knee and marry me. So hold up. He's waiting for her to make the move. Okay. Hove sees this interview, and next thing you know, the whole Detroit Lions be gone. He's going to own the team. Ryan, would Jay-Z owning the Lions be an upgrade or a downgrade from the Fords, bearing in mind the history of how this fan base has treated the Ford family?
I think this would be a huge downgrade. I don't even want to get into why. It would just be a downgrade.
Brooklyn Nets.
Just need to Brooklyn Lions.
Brooklyn Lions. Good God. Where would they even find a space for a football team in Brooklyn? It'd have to be like out on the island. They'd have to put it out in like Nassau County or something.
Ridiculous. Darius Slay, just sign a contract extension. I don't care. You can get paid like you're a top three corner. I don't care. After the money that Fletcher Cox got, you can get whatever kind of money you want.
Fletcher Cox, man, God.
You got that Sue money.
Not even that Sue money, like, you know, I think it was a great article, I forget if it was on Vice or Deadspin, but someone was saying, like, we need to change how we talk about NFL contracts because, like, we see these giant numbers, but they almost never get fully paid out because they're almost always restructured. But just looking at the guaranteed money, which is, what, $63 million guarantees?
Yeah.
Which I believe, is that more guaranteed money than what Sue got from Miami?
Yeah, Sue had 59.95.
Yeah, that's the real number there. The guaranteed money is the real number on these contracts, not the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, that's true, because things get either restructured or
Or the guy gets cut, traded. If it's not guaranteed, it's not money. But, you know, they always juice up these big contracts because, you know, either the guys sell themselves and the idea is like, yeah, I'll play well enough to get that money. And of course, then at the same time, the fans are like, wow, look at all this money. And then you look and it's like less than half of it is guaranteed or something.
Yeah, the problem is when the signing happens, those are always the first numbers to come out and you don't get the contract details for another few hours or maybe another day or two.
And the NFL, I think, wants it that way, too, because it's like, hey, look at how much money we pay these guys.
Yeah.
And in reality, it's not that much.
Yeah.
I think we've diddled around long enough, though. Ryan, you have a great segment you want to get into next coming up. So why don't you tease the audience for us what we're doing here? We're very excited about this.
I've never done a teaser, but I will gladly do one right now. So what we're going to give to you guys in the next segment is our list, Chris's list, Jeremy's list, and my list of the top 10 quarterbacks that you would want on your football team for the 2016 NFL season.
We finally did it, everyone. We're at the part of the off season where we're just doing the lists.
We're just doing lists, and we're talking about everything in the NFL because there just isn't enough to talk about with the Lions.
We have gone full sports talk radio.
We have gone full Bleacher Report.
No slideshow necessary, though.
Nope.
None at all.
There is a 15-second forward button, though, on your iTunes app, so if you want to just
no.
get past one of our takes, you can gladly do that.
All these takes.
Is this how you pitch a segment? Talk about fast-forwarding through it.
Continuing on here on the Pride of Detroit podcast, if you're listening to the last segment, you know from what Ryan Matthews told you, we are going deep down the rabbit hole. You know, we finally have hit it, the epitome of sports talk radio here. The listicles. The lists of...
The listicles.
That's what it's called. That's what Bleacher Report does. It's called a listicle.
Well, this isn't an article, exactly. It's
it
a listed article.
It is an audio
article.
Form of a listicle.
A listicast.
A listicast. Oh, listicast. No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I just got the title for this
podcast.
We've
coined a term. We have coined the term.
We need to trademark it, copyright it. Bleacher Report, if you steal this idea from us, I'm fining you. I'm going to find Ty Schalter, and I'm going to hold him over a bucket of sardines.
Yikes.
Oh, poor Ty. We love Ty.
We love Ty. Shout out, Ty.
You know what else I love? Lists of quarterbacks.
Absolutely. All right. It is the most critiqued position, I think, in all of sports, really, is the quarterback. Like, maybe there's some positions for, like, soccer that are critiqued around the world, but, like, I don't know. I don't see anyone putting together, like, lists of top 10 strikers or something, you know?
I mean, you can probably find them, but you cannot find... I agree with you. I don't think you can find a position in
a
any
single
sport
position.
That's...
Single
any
position.
Yeah, I don't think you can find any singular position in sports that's looked towards as being more, like, an indicator of, like, a team success than a quarterback.
Yeah, like, we don't talk about, like... point guards in the NBA quite as much as we do quarterbacks. We don't talk about centers in hockey, pitchers in baseball.
No, because they're all looked at as being pieces.
He's looked at like the sum total of the offense. Like, unless the quarterback's throwing, like, your team isn't crap. Like, I think sometimes we kind of overvalue the quarterback position, but...
Absolutely, I would agree.
But at the same time, too, like, when you have a really good quarterback, there's nothing else like it in sports.
Nothing else like it. So since we have one that might be a middle-of-the-road quarterback, let's talk about how good everybody else's is.
Sure.
All right, so why don't we go over our methodology here before we get
into
it?
Sure, let's clarify this.
What exactly is this a list of, Ryan?
Okay, so we each have our list of 10 quarterbacks here. These quarterbacks are in ranking in which you are a team heading into next season. You just need a quarterback for one season, regardless of scheme, regardless of the other players that are on the team, whatever, say that you just have middle of the road, average, like league average talent surrounding him. Which quarterback are you going to choose to get the most out of your team?
I need to ask this because you're the one posing this to us. Are we divesting this from fantasy points?
Fantasy football is a mockery. It's a sham. I'm still going to write about it, and I for some reason, I still love talking about the artifice of fantasy sports. But it was so great. I was on Football Outsiders the other day doing some research for this top 10 list, and they put it more eloquently than I could ever state it. The idea of why is the yard line between the 1 yard line and the goal line worth 61 times more than any of the yards on the field? Why is Larry Fitzgerald's 50-yard catch to get them to the 1 yard line worth less than Andre Ellington's 1 yard touchdown run?
Shout out to DraftKings and FanDuel apparently merging into a great giant terrible beast
that can't operate in New York.
Yeah. What are they going to be? They're going to be DraftDuel, FanKings. Draft FanDuel Kings.
Whatever. Let's put all the names together.
Let's get to these lists.
Can we stop talking about fantasy? Sure.
One season in a vacuum devoid of scheme with a replacement level team around them.
Specifically next season too, though.
Specifically
the 2016 season. Sure. All of the ages for next year of all the quarterbacks are in, all of the recent injuries.
Sure.
A specific quarterback who's not playing for four games next season. We'll see where he ranks on people's lists. Yeah, that should also be taken into account. But yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah, 1 second. I gotta make a quick correction. I forgot about that.
I'm not changing it, fuck you.
Okay. Are we gonna start at 10 or are we gonna start at 1?
Let's start at 10.
Okay.
Yeah, and I figured we could go around and just give maybe our 10 and 9, and then maybe our 8 and 7, maybe talk about our 10 and 9 a little bit. So.
Okay. I'll start it off in the name of camaraderie.
All right.
So my number 10 is a younger man, but someone who I think has got a really high ceiling, and it is Blake Bortles.
Oh,
I know you're in love with that Jacksonville offense.
No, it's not just him. I think it's not just their offense. I think Bortles is a good quarterback. He's really made some good throws. He keeps growing too. This is going to be his third year in the league. Just watch how he's grown. It's been fascinating seeing him grow. And then number 9, I've got from the Atlanta Falcons, Matt Ryan, Matty Ice.
Okay. Those are two acceptable answers, but I don't have either of those quarterbacks on my list.
Okay,
I do not have either of those quarterbacks on my list either, which I think is super interesting. I am huge on Blake Bortles, as I mentioned in one of my fantasy articles earlier this summer. I was talking about my love affair with Paxton Lynch. I love big quarterbacks. They make me feel weird inside. I've been burned by them before, like Jamarcus Russell, but I do think big things are ahead for Blake Bortles.
Really big things, man.
Some of the advanced statistics don't really favor him, but I still think that he has all the tools, and I think he's going to do a lot of good things
completely on growth right now for him. And then Matt Ryan, he's had a couple of bad years, but he's still a really good quarterback. I know we say average, replacement level, but I mean, if he's got a decent number one receiver, just forget about Julio Jones for a second. He can really put the ball out there pretty well.
I just think he's past his prime at this point, I think.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Okay.
I mean, I know he's only,
he's only season. 9 on here. So
yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like I said, he was in the mix for the bottom of my list. I guess I'll take over from here. I'm going to start at number 9 for reasons that'll become self-evident.
Okay.
I went with Derek Carr. Another kind of a young quarterback there. I think he's the future in Oakland, and I'm actually really excited to see him. He's a pretty accurate quarterback. I think he completed around 61% of his passes last year. I'm excited. Maybe it's just I'm excited for Oakland to be a semi-good team, and Derek Carr's a big reason for that, I think, from last year at least. While they're still in Oakland, while they're not Las Vegas Raiders yet.
Who's your 10?
Before I get into my number 10, I did want to say that 1 through 7 was extremely easy for me. 8 through, let's say, 15 or 16, extremely hard.
You're wasting time here. Get to your 10.
Give me a second.
so long on this podcast.
I was fine with number 8, fine with number 9. Number 10, I had about 6 guys, and I couldn't decide, so I went the homer route, and I put Matthew Stafford number 10.
No, you did not.
I put Matthew Stafford. Now, let me defend myself a little bit. You're talking about looking at Football Outsiders? He was 10th in DVOA last year, 9th in DYAR. The only thing that brought him down is QBR, which I don't believe in. He was 14th, which still 14th.
And the Lombardi corollary.
Yeah, whatever. Lombardi, whatever. The guy is still very young, and I know that doesn't really matter.
I was
but
doing
I think
the Lombardi
in the
thing in your defense.
Well, whatever. I forgot what the Lombardi corollary already means. I think he's still in the prime of his career. He's not really coming off of any debilitating injuries. He's played all 16 games 4 or 5 years in a row now. He's got an arm, and he's also learned 3 or 4 different systems in his young career. So he's versatile at this point as well.
All right, Ryan, you'll have to get your 9 to 10. Like we're already 10 minutes into the segment. We're gonna have to kick
it
up.
That's fine. We that's fine. We'll take our time because this is our goddamn podcast.
You gotta give the people what they want.
Number 10, like Jeremy had at number 9, I had Derek Carr at number 10. I think that he showed a lot of maturity last year. I know in the Lions game, he faced a lot of adversity. I believe he threw a couple picks. But with that being said, I mean, he did have right around an average completion percentage, right over 60%, threw 32 touchdowns, but I really like the number of him only throwing 13 interceptions. For a young quarterback who really likes to, throw the ball down the field, I think 13 interceptions is a really good number, and he was just a few yards shy of cracking 4,000, but I do like Derek Carr. And then my number 9 was a quarterback named Philip Rivers.
Ooh, okay.
Mr. Peppermint Roll himself.
Yeah, so Philip Rivers is a quarterback who, honestly, I kind of went back and forth with actually putting him even higher. I know that he doesn't have a whole lot of support in San Diego. Their offensive line has kind of been a turnstile. They've done a lot to fix that this offseason so far. I've always liked Philip Rivers, a guy who always completes a high percentage of his passes, kind of limits his turnovers, throws for a lot of yards. I like Philip Rivers, and he's my number 9.
I almost put Philip Rivers on mine, but I think the problem for me is that I look at Philip Rivers and his age. Like, you talk about Matt Ryan getting old. I think Philip Rivers, he's going to be what? He's going to be in his 40s. Is he in his 40s?
No.
Philip Rivers? No, he's younger than Drew Brees. He's 34.
34, yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's got to be all the kids. Like, he's got so many kids, I just immediately think he's the older man.
Yeah, Rivers didn't make my list either.
Wow!
He was right there, but he's one of those quarterbacks, and I agree about the point you said that he hasn't really had a good supporting cast lately.
He's got no one to help him in San Diego. No.
But I don't know what he does well. Every time I watch him, like, he looks like he's throwing it weird. He's got a really... shitty attitude.
I love him, man. I love when he kicked that ball.
I have to counter both of those points. Shitty attitude, no. I think he's a gamer.
He's a gamer.
He's the only guy who talks trash without cursing because he's such a goddamn family man.
He wears a bolo tie, man. He wears a bolo tie.
Yeah, that's a point in my category.
Can we move on? We've gone so long on this. Let's get to 7 and 8 here. Okay. Let's reverse it then. Let's go to Ryan first for 7 and 8.
Okay, so number 8, I have Mr. Drew Brees.
Okay.
He's even older than Philip Rivers. He is not 40, though. He is 36 years old. Heading into next season, he will be 37.
Uh-huh.
Completed 68% of his passes last year.
Which is amazing because the Saints were just awful.
Not very good. That was good for second in the league. Also threw for almost 4,900 yards, only 11 interceptions. His net yards gained per pass attempt was in the top 10. He was number 5, actually, with 7.04. He was sacked quite a bit. He had 31 sacks last year. He does have Terron Armstead, who's one of the best left tackles in the league. But Drew Brees, I still think that if I need a quarterback for next year, he wouldn't be too bad of an option. And then number 7, much to the dismay of Alex Reno, I have Carson Palmer.
I have about the same as you. I just have them flip-flopped. I have Breeze 7, Palmer 8.
And, oh, okay.
I mean, look, I want to put Palmer better because, like, I hate him. But I hate him because he's a USC guy. But, like, he drives me a little insane because I don't like USC quarterbacks. But at the same time, too, like, yeah, I can't deny he had a really good 2015 regular season.
I mean, but, if it wasn't for Cam Newton, he would have been the MVP last year.
But there's no excuse to watching him play in the postseason, man. Like, that Green Bay game, he needed Fitzgerald to bail him out twice. Just because, you watched how awful he became in that game in the late time, and then the very next game, it just all fell apart for him. I hate doing this because I sound like the radio people I despise, but I need more out of Carson Palmer in the postseason before I can christen him as, like, one of my favorite quarterbacks.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. I still think, I mean, to say that he had an awesome year last year would be, like, an understatement. I mean, that guy was really damn good.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, 8.04 net yards gained per pass attempt.
I don't know if that really is something he does consistently, though. That's right. Kind of the problem.
That's what I was going to say, because Carson Palmer is also on my list. He's my number 7.
Okay, so we all got Palmer about the same spot. Yeah.
Yeah. But the more I think about it, the more I kind of wish I had put him a little bit lower, and that's because of Bruce Arians. Like, that guy's an offensive mind, and without him, I'm not sure Carson Palmer would be the quarterback that he was last year. And in fact, he's never really been the quarterback that he was last year in, at any point in his, 10-15-year career. So
sure, but some of the throws he made, if we want to jump back to that Packers game real quick, that throw that he made to Michael Floyd in the back of the end zone, I don't know how many guys are making that throw because that was off his back foot. Like, he puts that ball right where only Michael Floyd can catch it. I still think Carson Palmer can make a lot of throws that the guys above him on this list would have trouble making. So that's why I had him at 7. But go ahead, Jeremy.
So Jeremy, who was your? So you had him at 7 as well. So 7. Who's your 8?
Yep. My 8 is Andrew Luck, which I'm surprised I haven't heard from you guys yet. It makes me sound like he's not going to be anywhere on your list.
I've got a confession to make.
What's that? You forgot about him?
No, he's not in my top 10.
I'm okay. Your fool?
I'm your Huckleberry. No, he's not in my top 10.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are a little bit down on Andrew Luck after last year. He dealt with a bunch of injuries, and he didn't play that well when he was, quote-unquote, healthy. But the guy's still got a rocket arm. I still think he's going to turn around his career. I don't think he's the next Manning like he was kind of being touted out after his rookie year, but I think he's a top 10 guy for sure, and I would want him on my team.
I don't know why I don't have him on a top 10. Maybe it's the Colts stink, but at the same time, too, he had that one game where, what was it? Was it Kansas City that fell apart against Indianapolis? Like, Kansas City was up it was a wild card game.
Yeah, the year before last, it was
KC Indianapolis, and they just fell apart. But other than that, I've just not seen anything to really convince me that he's great. Other than people telling me he's great, I don't see it. What, Ryan?
I keep talking about Andrew Luck because I just disagree with you completely.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure he'll make me eat crow next year. But that's really all I've got.
Jeremy, go ahead and give us your 6 and 5 then.
Yeah, let's move up.
All right. Number 6, I got Ben Roethlisberger. I got a couple of stares there. No, I think Big Ben is definitely top 6. Maybe should be even a little higher, but he's a guy that's going to extend plays all the time. He's a guy who's been there, who's won a bunch of games, who's won a championship or two.
What's your next one?
Number 5 would be, and this I think is going to be a little low for you guys, is Cam Newton.
I mean, it really depends what happens with Cam Newton, right?
Yeah.
I guess it really depends.
It depends on what
happens with the MVP of the league last year.
Hey, let's see him put a couple together, right?
Who's number one? His number one receiver was Ted Ginn Jr.
That to me, he has put a couple together. It's just up until this, you want to talk about supporting cast. Cam Newton has no one.
He has a defense, the best defense in the world, and he's getting all this credit for these wins? Come on now.
Ryan, what's your 5-6?
He threw 18 touchdowns. Ryan, what's your 5-6? In 2014. 18 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. That's nothing.
Ryan, what's your 5-6?
Number six, I had Andrew Luck. If you guys need any reminder, so last year, yeah, not very good numbers from Andrew Luck. The guy was banged up and beaten to shit. I mean, the guy, like, they had to rebuild him, okay? So hopefully he's rebuilt, and I think that he is rebuilt and he's going to be healthy for this season. In 2014, he had a 61.7 completion percentage. He led the league in touchdown passes with 40. He threw 16 interceptions. He almost threw for 5,000 yards. How is that guy not in your top 10, Chris?
I don't know. He looks like he's got a pituitary problem.
All right, so number five I have, this is probably going to be just as shocking as maybe the Cam Newton thing, but I have Russell Wilson at number five.
No, I'm fine with that. Russell Wilson at five as well.
There you go.
Okay.
So I think a lot of that...
Chris, before you get to it, I know you think that he's a system guy a little bit, or that his numbers are maybe a little bit indicative of, you know, his position that he's in Seattle. But, I mean, for what he does then, he does it better than maybe anybody else in the league when it comes to his scheme, outside of maybe I would say Ben Roethlisberger, who really knows his offense. But high percentage of his passes, he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. The dual threat thing, I think you can do a lot worse than Russell Wilson, but I just put him at five.
Yeah, no, I think five is about fair. I think there's nothing more beautiful in the game of football than watching Russell Wilson, like you know, his line like collapse in a puff of smoke. Two defensive ends come barreling at him, like belching smoke and wanting his blood, and he like barrels back, like reverses for about 10 yards, runs the complete opposite way on the field, and then on the run, almost about to hit his like line of scrimmage again, and they still haven't caught him, and he makes like a 30-yard strike down the field to Doug Baldwin. That is the most beautiful thing in the game of football. When he pulls one of those moves off, I stop hating on Russell Wilson. I'm like, oh my God, this is just like, this is it.
I'm a big fan of Russell Wilson too. You'll hear how big a fan I am of him a little later, but
well, let me.
He throws a long ball better than a lot of people in this league.
Let me get to my number six. It's this might be a little controversial. Andy Dalton
did not make my list.
Did not make my list.
I think you want to talk about guys who show maturity. You want to talk about guys who show maturity. Like, look at the difference between when the Bengals had Andy Dalton last year and when they had AJ McCarron. Like, he's been, for as much crap as we've been giving him, he has been improving steadily, and he's not the reason why the Bengals lost that playoff game either. Like, I'm not going to call him the Red Rifle, but I think the future is bright for Andy Dalton.
I just don't think you can use AJ McCarron as a proper comparison tool. Like, sure, they were worse with AJ McCarron, but show me a quarterback in the league who they aren't worse under their backup quarterback. I know this from a lot of Bengals fans. They hate Andy Dalton.
That's fine. I know a lot of Bears fans who hate Jay Cutler irrationally. Jay Cutler didn't make my top 10. But I'm just saying Jay Cutler isn't as bad as Bears fans think.
Andy Dalton almost made your top 5. That's ridiculous.
Shut up.
All right. Well, Chris, 4-3 then for you as
okay,
well.
Okay, fine. 3... All right, you guys are going to think me insane for 3, but...
Well, give us your 4 first.
Give us 4 first.
Okay, 4 is Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay. I have Ben Roethlisberger at 4, too.
Yeah, I think it's about fine for him. He's starting to pile up a couple of years, but he still really runs that offense really well. Like, it's kind of weird watching him bumble down the field sometimes, but he's one of those big quarterbacks who just makes things happen, too. So, there's that. Number 3 is Tom Brady.
Okay.
So even with the 4 games off, like, Tom Brady's still at my 3. I really shouldn't have to explain much more than that.
Yeah, I think maybe I'll say my 4 and 3 because they are the exact same as Chris. Mm-hmm. I have Ben Roethlisberger at number 4. I have Tom Brady at number 3. I think Ben Roethlisberger, I guess if you want to say if Andrew Luck does end up panning out, which I think he will, because I think he's a pretty good quarterback, he's almost kind of like built in the same mold as like a Ben Roethlisberger, a little bit more interested in moving the ball, I think, past the line of scrimmage with his feet sometimes. than Ben Roethlisberger ever was, but definitely one of those quarterbacks who can stay upright in the pocket, can, you know, be elusive enough to stay upright and make plays down the field. I really like Ben Roethlisberger still. And then three, Tom Brady. He would honestly, he'd probably be number two, maybe even number one on my list if I had him for all 16 games. If you want to make the argument that who cares, my team will still go 12-4 once he comes back for the remaining 12 games. I don't have an argument for you because he's still the gold standard.
The suspension for me didn't even factor into me putting him at three, to be honest.
Oh. I mean, he was second in the league last year in DYAR.
Right. But I think my problem is like each year that we go on, you got to keep wondering like how much longer does Tom Brady keep doing this? And so far, he's been beating Father Time, but you can only roll that dice so many times.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm just not betting against. I'm not betting against Tom Brady.
Three is me hedging a little bit.
You're not counting out Tom.
Touchdown Tom.
Teflon Tom.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
All right, so my number four is Russell Wilson. I don't think we need to discuss him too much more. We all have him right around there. My number three is Drew Brees, who I think a lot of people are sleeping on. Like, a lot of people consider last year a bad year for him. And like you were saying, Ryan, he was first in yardage. He was second, I think, in completion percentage. And even though his team, you know, shit the bed last year, he's still performing at a crazy high level. I don't really understand the Drew Brees hate right now. I think he is still an elite quarterback in a league that probably has only about five elite quarterbacks.
Can I go back and quote some Football Outsider stuff for Andy Dalton, since we've been seem to be leaning on them a lot?
I guess if you want to, but by the same account, if you're going to shit on Andrew Luck, I don't know how you're going to extrapolate one season of Andy Dalton and say that he's your quarterback that you want next year.
Fair enough.
But go ahead. No, say your numbers.
No, we can move on. I just looked at our stopwatch and we need to like hustle it up for these, because we'll be yelling at, I'm sure we're going to be yelling at each other for these top two or some. We had another corollary to do on this topic anyway. So who wants to do one and two first?
Well, I feel like I already know everybody's top two, but I'll throw mine in. Two is Tom Brady, because he's not even going to be suspended for those four games. He's going to take it to the Supreme Court, and he's going to win.
No, he's not, because there's only eight Supreme Court justices. The Republicans in the Senate and the House are going to cause this case to get deadlocked.
Teflon Tom, nothing sticks to him. So, like I said, any arguments you want for Tom Brady, I can't argue against. So, all right, sounds good, Jeremy. Okay. I like him at number two.
Number
and
one.
Then your number one.
Do we all have this guy at number one?
I get the feeling that Ryan doesn't. I think he. But
do you,
we'll
Ryan,
see.
Just shake your head. I know this is a visual medium. Nod if he is your number one.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Okay.
Anyways, Aaron Rodgers. Again, this is the same kind of thing with Drew Brees. A lot of people are down on him after last year. He didn't have any wide receivers. He can still throw a rifle 60 yards down the field. He completed two friggin' Hail Marys last year. He's so good, and he's smart, and he's elusive, and there's no one better in the pocket. And there's just the only blemish on his game is sometimes he gets a little lazy with his footwork and kind of throws an inaccurate pass. But if he's on, if he's setting his feet, there's no one better in the league. It's no question.
The only thing I have to really say about the only reason I have to hate Aaron Rodgers is because he plays for the Packers in the NFC North. For any other team, I wouldn't have this. But he's in my number one. He's the best. He's the best of the 21st century, past like Tom Brady. Like, there's like no one really to compare. And the Packers have just diddled away his entire career by like not spending for free agency.
Oh, wait, so who's number two for you, Chris?
Did you tell your number two, Jeremy? I'm sorry.
Tom Brady was.
Number two for me is Cam Newton.
Cam.
Yeah. Which, okay. Good. Really good. Really freaking good, Cam Newton. Takes
MVP
hits,
last year.
MVP,
yeah.
Takes hits, throws.
Completes less than 60% of his passes for his career, FYI.
Oh, yeah. I follow Ryan here. Again, not a visual medium, but just giant wanking motion right there.
No, that's okay. If you want an inaccurate quarterback to be your number two, or
I want a guy
let's say in a crazy world, you put him at number one.
Did you put him at number one, Ryan?
So my number two quarterback was Aaron Rodgers. I think that there have been some people who've been kind of almost like rallying against Rodgers and the idea that he, for whatever reason, is maybe showing some signs of wear. I know some people are trying to make the argument that he isn't able to do more with less, kind of like how Peyton Manning did back in his Austin Poly days, back in his, you know, turning, you know, Stokely into a, you know, a bona fide like slot receiver. So that kind of idea has crept up. I don't buy into really any of it. I still think that Aaron Rodgers is still one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game of football. But
you think
Cam
Newton
said,
has surpassed him?
One guy who did do more with less last season was Cameron frickin' Newton. Yeah.
The guy.
So when Jeremy says, well, if you want a quarterback who didn't complete more than 60% of it,
who was
completed
he throwing
59.7%. So let's split some
and
hairs.
And again, look at how
I'm,
many
I'm
times.
Talking about for his career, not just last
year. Yeah, and who has he had through his career? He hasn't even had, like, a whole season with Kelvin Benjamin. Like,
so I would understand the argument if I didn't see Cam Newton play last year at the level that he did. The previous 4 years, he was a total quarterback who I thought he was just going to stay middle of the road. He was just going to be a ho-hum kind of middle of the maybe second-tier quarterback. But I think last year he, honest to goodness, took like the next step. He was able to do more with less. He's able to pick up short yardage when they need short yardage on the run if he wants to just put his shoulder down. Like Chris mentioned, he didn't have any like really any kind of like receiver talent on the outside. He did have Greg Olsen, who's probably one of the top three tight ends in the league, maybe, if you want to make that argument. But I think that Cam Newton is just, if I need a quarterback for next season, he's the guy who I want because I think he can do the most out of the backfield.
Can I say this about Cam Newton, too? Like, he's been very consistent about just what he can put out for you and what kind of a quarterback he is. Like, he's been that. Like, I mean, he won a national title at Auburn. Like, you know, 1 year plugged into Auburn. Like, he made Gene Chizik look like a competent coach. Like, that's a miracle if you know anything about Gene Chizik. Like, Gene Chizik has no business being anywhere near coaching a football team, let alone college or NFL. Like, Gene Chizik was awful, terrible, and Cam Newton won a national title for him. And, like, as soon as he got to Carolina, like, he was still doing everything that he was doing at Auburn. It's just that Carolina has been always one of those teams, like, as you say, Ryan, they just don't really give him a lot to really work with.
I mean, his running back last year was Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah.
And I can totally buy the argument that his defense
and what was his
did
left
do a
tackle?
Good job.
What was his left tackle last year?
I don't know. I do know that he has good interior linemen. Trey Turner
no,
is
I'm
a
sorry,
great.
I was thinking
he's
that.
Like one of the
tackle or well yeah their guards are fine, but it's their Carolina's tackles were just a sieve.
Yeah,
I don't know, guys.
Cam
just,
Newton, number one.
Newton.
In my hearts and in my
smile.
Trenches.
Smile,
you're just
baby.
Just putting a lot of confidence
Superman.
In one amazing season. That's all I'm saying.
No. I'm looking at like Cam Newton's entire football career.
One amazing.
Okay, you're looking at his college career.
I'm looking at his NFL
on this
too.
List.
No, and like Cam Newton was so good in college, like it surpasses all of that too. Like Cam Newton would have been like one of the greatest college quarterbacks of all time, and I'm not joking. I'm really not.
I'm really not joking when I say if I want a quarterback for 2016, it's probably either going to be Carson Palmer or Cam Newton.
All right, what was the other game you wanted to play, considering that we've gone right. Like a good half hour on this now?
Who cares? It's our podcast.
It's our podcast.
We can do what we want. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to fire off all of the quarterbacks who we did not list, even though Jeremy, for some reason, put Matthew Stafford at number 10. He didn't make either Chris or I's list, so we'll think this is kind of
so are we just,
interesting.
Just you and me, Ryan? You want to just do this you and me?
Well, we can do it, Jeremy, too, because Jeremy also said that, like, 10 through 16, like, he could have put those quarterbacks in any order. So let's see if we can even get Jeremy
get
to flip-flop on one of these things.
Okay, I like this. I like this.
Okay, so number one, Kirk Cousins or Matthew Stafford for next year? I would go Matthew Stafford. Sorry, Alex. Jay Cutler.
Stafford.
I would go Stafford as well. Jameis Winston.
Stafford,
yeah, I gotta go Stafford.
Tyrod Taylor,
Stafford.
I would go Tyrod Taylor.
Shut up.
He was almost my number 10 quarterback.
Shut up.
Eli Manning.
Toss up.
Snap. Come on, you gotta
toss
make
up.
A choice.
No, toss up, toss up.
Say a word.
Stafford. I would say Stafford, but I could very easily be swayed to Eli.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, if he plays for a football team next year.
Stafford.
Yeah. Yeah, Stafford, I guess.
Oh, I was going to leave
that. You are really getting me on the rocks with a couple of these.
Alex Smith.
Staff, baby.
I would go Matt Stafford.
Fine. I'm trying not to sound like an absolute homer here, and you're making this hard for me. Yeah, I would take Stafford.
I think you're starting to realize that Stafford at number 10 isn't ridiculous at all.
No,
it sounds like
let's
you
keep
have
going. Let's keep going. So do you want to, I mean, obviously I put Bortles above it, but what about, like, I would probably take Carr over Stafford.
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy either because I had him at number 10.
Right.
And Jeremy had him on his list too, right?
Yeah, I had him at 9.
Okay. At 9? Okay. Okay.
Well,
Sam Bradford.
Let me throw it back to you before we get to Bradford. Sure. Would you guys take Stafford or Bortles?
Stafford.
I would take Stafford.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so Bradford.
Stafford.
I was going to say, can we all say Stafford at once, please?
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota.
Stafford. It's too early. It's too early for Marcus Mariota.
I would say... Ooh. The hot takes. I'm taking Stafford. I'm not even going to say his name. Joe Flacco.
The elitist quarterback in the league didn't even make any of our lists.
Well, hold up, because like we want to talk about having nothing to work with. Like, I take Flacco.
The takes are coming in hot from Chris, and I love it. I would take Matt Stafford too.
Okay, what else we got? I would take Rivers over Stafford.
I would too.
He wasn't on my top 10. That's why I threw it out there.
He wasn't on Jeremy's, but you would take Stafford over Rivers?
Yep.
Well, let me get you two guys who I didn't have. Andy Dalton and Matt Ryan. Would you take Stafford over both of them?
Yep.
I don't know. the weird thing is that everybody's always kind of made the comparisons between Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford. Their careers have always kind of been synonymous with one another in terms of like their comparisons. I feel like maybe just because they're both named Matt, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Might just be me, but I don't know. I think I would take Stafford over Ryan, but I don't know if I would take Stafford over Dalton. And that really pains me to say something like that.
All right, let me lead a couple of them here.
Come on, put his feet to the fire. Make him choose.
Yeah, come on, choose.
Stafford, because I will never go on record of ever saying I'd take Andy Dalton over anybody.
All right, let me do a couple here then for you. Right. Brock Osweiler.
Matt Stafford.
Let me throw you. Where was he? I was just looking at his face. Ryan, did you have... Ryan Tannehill.
Matt Stafford.
Staffy.
We're running out of quarterbacks here.
NFC North quarterback Teddy Bridgewater.
I like Teddy, but no.
Teddy really can't get the ball downfield, so I guess Stafford.
I think we've exhausted all the quarterbacks.
Unless you want to get Brian Hoyer.
He's not playing next year. Blaine Gabbert is playing next year, though.
Good God. What about, what if we did 2012 Colin Kaepernick?
All right, now we're going to jump in time machines and start grabbing quarterbacks, huh?
Why don't we just get to the mailbag? Why don't we just do that?
We'll do that.
We can get to the mailbag. And by the way, folks, I hope you enjoyed this because I'm definitely bringing it back next week. We're going
to
talk about wide receivers.
Yeah, just to make each other rush at each other's throats a little more. But let's get to your questions because we have prattled on long enough. It's mailbag time. Mailbag time. It is the Pride Detroit mailbag, world famous, not actually world famous, we just like to think it is, where you, the reader, sends your tweets and comments to us, and we answer them about anything, Detroit Lions, life, football, other sports, especially wrestling, a lot of wrestling.
Nope.
Send us your wrestling talk.
As much wrestling as you want us to talk about, we can talk about on this third segment.
We will do that. How, Ryan, how are you feeling for Money in the Bank?
You guys. I'd rather talk about Blake Bortles being a top 10 quarterback.
I like Bortles. But yeah, no, wrestling is going to be lit this Sunday.
Unduly hype for really Styles good. Cena. Like, that alone will sell the show for me. Is Jeremy walking away from his microphone? I don't have his camera.
Did that pick up on the microphone, me hitting my head into it?
No, it didn't. Let's go to almost about another question kind of in that vein. Big Haircut, one of our regular shout out, asks, John Oliver or Stephen Colbert?
That's a good question.
Can I take option C? I always like Jon Stewart better than any of them.
He's not an option right now.
I guess. Are we talking, well, then, if that's the case, are we talking modern-day Stephen Colbert? Are we talking, like, Late Show Stephen Colbert? Or are we talking Colbert Report Stephen Colbert?
I guess that's up for you to decide.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't explicitly part of the question, then I don't know. I think just in a vacuum, like, at their prime, I would say John Oliver is, like, in his prime right now. I mean, wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, absolutely. Stephen Colbert is probably, like,
Maybe he's on the downturn.
Well,
but
yeah, he's changed his. He's gotten away from the comedy that made him really great, which was just being a satirical character.
Yeah, I don't know why I said he's on the downside of his career. That's something mean to say, but he's definitely in a different lane.
Yes, he's in a very different lane now.
I would probably go Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, man. Like, growing up with the Colbert Report and the Daily Show, those were like powerhouses.
John Oliver is really good, though. But
yeah, John Oliver right now, he's doing like Pulitzer work right now.
He's doing God. He's doing God right now.
The research they do on that show is incredible.
Yeah, they get to some interesting topics, but for me, like, as a very politically engaged guy, like, I don't know, maybe it's because I finally, like, got that catharsis out of my system, and I kind of realized, like, yelling about X and Y with a comedy guy is kind of actually bad for political engagement. But now I'm getting a little philosophical on this, but I'm still gonna go Colbert. Like, again, maybe that's a little bit of nostalgia talking. For me, like, there was nothing better than, like, for me, Colbert's peak, and you can agree or disagree with this, Ryan, Colbert's peak was when he was unwittingly invited to the White House press correspondents' dinner during the Bush regime, and, like, they didn't realize he was a satirical character.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all gold. I mean, Stephen Colbert, I mean, worth his weight in gold, and I think maybe the nostalgia thing has some kind of effect on why I would choose him over Oliver, but I can't deny the fact that Oliver is doing incredible work right now.
He's doing some good stuff. So.
Colbert is one of my favorite comedians of all time, and a lot of people look to his work as a Colbert Reporter, even go back to his days as a correspondent at The Daily Show. But if you're a Colbert fan, I urge you, go back and watch Strangers with Candy. One of the funniest shows I've ever seen.
I don't know. Maybe it's just I liked Jon Stewart so much. If you gave me Jon Stewart here, I'd probably pick him over this just because, like, given the option between the Colbert Report and the Daily Show on a given night, I watch the Daily Show, but yeah. But yeah, no, I know what you're saying about Stranger to Candy. Like, there's a lot about Colbert to love.
Yeah.
There really is. And this isn't to say that his new show on CBS isn't bad either, by the way. I just haven't really seen it. It's a network late night variety show. Like, it's not my audience.
Which is weird too, because talk about some more late night talk show hosts. Like, there isn't maybe anybody that I've done a complete 180 on. Like, I had Jimmy Fallon.
In a good sense, okay.
Because I was not a Jimmy Fallon fan. Like, during SNL, I thought he would always break character just to get, like, cheap laughs and get, like, a cheap pop out of the crowd, because it was so easy to get a laugh out of the crowd by breaking character and laughing at somebody's performance. But, like, I don't know. I find him so much more likable in that talk show host role. I don't know.
Additional question off of that, Jimmy Kimmel or Jimmy Fallon? Or Conan?
Don't throw Conan into it.
I'll add Conan later.
Conan kind of, like, trumps everybody to me.
Okay, so just between Kimmel and Fallon.
Kimmel.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
I'm in the same boat. I think Jimmy Fallon is, yes, extremely likable in his role. His style of comedy isn't for me. It's a little playful. It doesn't have any bite. It's just a little boring for me. Like, okay.
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you play all these games with these celebrities. I don't want to see that. That's not really interesting
to me. What about Late Show Colbert versus Conan?
I haven't seen enough of his Late Show, to be honest. Colbert's. So I don't know. But I enjoy Conan quite a bit.
What if I'm
still
including Colbert with the Colbert Report?
Man, I'll probably take Colbert Report. Colbert managed to stay fresh longer than I think Conan has.
Okay.
Even though Conan's been in the business 2 decades, maybe even 3 at this point.
We should probably move on. This was good. This was a lot more than I thought we'd get out of late night talk show hosts, but this is
Thank
good.
Thank you, Big Haircut.
That was a great question. Thank you.
You were getting upset at us going over on our top 10 quarterbacks list, and we just went on talk show host for how long? This is a goddamn football podcast. If anybody can count the amount of times I've said goddamn in this podcast, by the way.
You're gonna get someone angry at me. I used to run a college football podcast. I used to say goddamn all the time, and I had someone call me blasphemous and leave a 1-star iTunes review.
Well, that's because you're a Notre Dame fan.
No, this guy was actually an Oklahoma State fan. It wasn't Notre Dame. Plus, I mean, it's more acceptable for a Catholic to curse.
All right, Rudy, what's the next?
Jesus Christ, I hate you.
The next question.
Speaking of football, Joseph R. Sweeney 5 asks, anyone watching the big soccer tournaments? Anyone have a favorite? An impression so far?
I like Team USA making it to the second round, making it to the knockout round.
Not having to play Brazil in the knockout round.
Yeah.
Brazil got sent home packing.
Screwed.
Screwed. Royally screwed. Who was that, Peru, that knocked him out?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Peru. It was Peru. Okay. And then, as I told you just far, Sweeney, Forza Italia, my Azzurri beat Belgium.
Ryan's not into it.
Dude, man, for a guy who I work nights, so for a guy who's home all day, like, I've been loving the Euros. So
I've been checking in, but I'm not tied to anything. I saw Iceland tied today. That was neat.
That was their first goal ever in an international competition, I believe. Or at least in the Euros.
Or at least since the D2. Mighty Ducks.
Terrible joke.
I appreciated it.
Okay, let's move on because Ryan doesn't even want to talk about
the goalie. Dude, it's Greenland that's covered in ice, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
I learned that because of Mighty Ducks too. So there is some worth to it.
Big Blue Silver asks, any of you guys going to try out for the cheer squad?
No, but I am going to put in my application to NASA.
That's, we'll call that an inside joke that hopefully no one gets.
Zing! All right. We're going through all of the regulars here. TJW Go Blue asks, favorite summertime activity?
Astronauting.
My favorite summertime activity is getting drunk.
Oh, God.
That's only a summertime activity for you, huh?
No.
It's just his favorite thing to do in the summer, though.
You get drunk on different things in the winter or the fall or the spring, but there's
then give us a summertime drink.
Modelo Especial.
Really?
Yeah, that's my favorite Mexican beer. That hands down my favorite Mexican beer. It beats Tecate, it beats Dos Equis, it beats Corona. It is my favorite Mexican beer.
Okay.
Jeremy, what's your favorite summertime activity?
Since
you're the only one who has like actual dependable weather.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe beach. I enjoy myself a day on the beach.
I hate you so much. You just had God.
I honestly think my favorite summertime activity though is probably going to a ball game.
Baseball?
Yeah.
When I go to a baseball game, I never actually pay attention to the baseball at all. Like, it's kind of weird.
But it is kind of relaxing.
Yeah, sure.
It's like going to a public park, really.
My only problem is
to hang out outside and drink a beer.
A beer for $10 at Comerica. I sacrifice Andrew Jackson to get me and Ryan an Oberon last time we went to Comerica.
I honestly think that if you, I don't know, could you get through the metal detector with a beer in your pocket? I don't think you could.
Maybe if it was like in a Ziploc bag or something.
Bottle?
Just a total scumbag.
You could get a flask in for sure.
A plastic flask, maybe.
A plastic flask.
All right, let's move on.
I didn't know I was dealing with some amateurs here. Come on now. Who hasn't brought a plastic flask to a game?
I haven't.
JBDET asks, do hot dogs cut up on a pizza and then rolled into a calzone make it a pizza, a calzone, a sandwich, or a hot dog, or just an abomination of nature?
I think it makes it a sandwich, but we're going to call that sandwich the abomination sandwich.
Yeah, if it's got hot dogs involved, the word abomination needs to be somewhere in there.
Well, I mean, you can have a sausage sandwich, and a hot dog is just a piece of crap sausage.
But wait, what if it's a dollar hot dog that's cut up onto a pizza, Jeremy? Does that make it an abomination sandwich?
Yes.
I mean, I still wouldn't tip, but...
A calzone,
certainly. Don't even start. Don't even start, or I swear to God, I will make the hidden track, Mr. Pink. This is a Slack joke. We had the Mr. Pink discussion in Slack the other night.
The joke is that Ryan's a horrible human being.
Ryan is Mr. Pink.
That's not
Ryan
true.
Is Mr. Are, Ryan is sure. Mr. Pink, and let's move on to the next question. JJones164 asks, and I think text-to-speech or autocorrect got to him. So I'm trying to... We're trying to correct this question for you, Jay Jones. He says, first quarter, and he's... first quarter, if we can hold T.Y. Hilton... If we can have T.Y. Hilton being held to 70 to 80 yards by Slay, but outside of that, who is the most important defensive player for Detroit holding Andrew Luck under 300 yards in Game 1 at Indianapolis?
300 passing yards or 300 total yards? Actually, it doesn't matter. I would say DeAndre Levy.
You think it'd be Levy?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good answer.
Because yeah, I really don't see like the Colts as a team that really like stretches the field like too much other than T.Y. Hilton. So if T.Y. Hilton is held to that many yards, the only other way they're going to get, I think the only way they're going to get yardage is if they do like some like short stuff, either like over the middle or they work the flats or something like that. And that's all DeAndre Levy territory. So,
yeah, I think I've got to go Levy as well.
Just to be different, I'll go Ansa. You know, if he can disrupt and make Andrew Luck's life a living hell week one,
they can definitely hold him short. Which is very possible. Yeah. With that line. Yeah.
I think it's interesting that we didn't say another secondary player though.
I just don't have a lot. The projected starters are obviously Nevin Lawson and Quandre Diggs, and both those guys just haven't proven enough to me yet. Quandre Diggs had a great rookie season, but it was his rookie season, and it was, you know, half of a rookie season, really. So we'll see on him. Nevin Lawson was kind of a mixed bag last year. We'll see how much he's progressed in another year of being healthy.
Question from Twitter from Zack Snyder, not the director, our friend Zack Snyder, who runs Detroit Jock City. I'm looking for a daily moisturizer with SPF. Any to recommend?
The tears of Bears fans.
That's a good one. I like that a lot. Sam Ty on Twitter asks, are we any good anymore? I honestly can't tell.
Who's we? The Lions?
If we're talking about this podcast, the answer is no.
What do you mean? Jumped the shark. Yeah. By no you mean we're great, then yeah.
We're doing list casts at this point. We have jumped the shark.
List casts are the way to go. This is how we're going to rise up the ranks. People want to hear things like Blake Bortles at number 10. People want to hear things like Andy Dalton in the top, what, five?
Six. You know, he was six on my list. Don't misjudge me. Because
sorry, I'm misrepresenting your list.
By one digit.
List casts are the way of the future. We're ahead of the curve.
JV42 asks, in your house, what would be the worst activity to spot a ghost or other supernatural occurrences doing during? So you're doing something in your house and you look up and it's like a scene out of The Conjuring or something.
This is a really good question. I just have to think of an answer.
It seems like a very leading answer, and anything where I'm naked, I guess. Showering, other stuff. Your words.
I'm sure you do that a lot. I'm sure we could take a
light. Oh, hey, what? Now, this is not the place to discuss this sort of stuff.
This podcast, I'm so done with this.
Can we cancel ourselves? Is that a thing?
All right, someone else. Ryan, what would your answer be?
I mean, I'm not afraid of any ghosts, so...
You ain't afraid of no ghosts.
I'm not afraid of no ghosts.
Junior,
you know
over
what?
Here.
There is one person that I'm absolutely terrified of, though.
John Cena!
I like Bortles.
Bortles? I am shocked we went through all those quarterbacks and we basically declared Stafford number 11 at best.
Yeah, for real. But then
like, that
I
sounds really
that
fucking
happen?
Homer.
We'll see, motherfuckers. I guess we won't really see because we won't see these quarterbacks in the vacuums that we...
Yeah, that we put them in.
That we just put them in, but...
1 second here.
Oh, we didn't... We also didn't say... We didn't say like any of the rookie quarterbacks, but I don't think we'd take
any of the rookie quarterbacks. We don't really know. Like, no, none of these
quarterbacks. I take Paxton Lynch over Matt Stafford, though.
I can see it.
I hope you're recording this.
I am. 1 second. Speaking of that.
Oh, good. Then you're recording.
Yeah, then he's got. I like Bortles.
How about a Fresca?
Make sure that gets in there, too. Just as like a random drop, though. Like. In, like, some dead air or something like that.